It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Touch and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Toucher and Rich and Adam Jones in the studio. But there's something that I haven't been able to shake for the past couple of days. And there's... So we had Ted Johnson in a couple of days ago. And out of nowhere, I don't even know how it came up. It was organically... Ted Johnson, we started talking about his life playing football and some of the concussions he's had, and I've never heard anyone describe what life is like having multiple concussions better than Ted Johnson did. And it just got me thinking, and, you know, as a father thinking about, you know, my kids wanting to play football and different sports, you know, it was probably one of the more important discussions things I've heard from somebody in a while. And the thing about Ted Johnson is he's been very open about his struggles with dealing with concussions, the type of medication he's had to take because of it. And I spoke for about 15, 20 minutes with a group of friends about it. Everyone keeps asking me about it. So there's some people might not have heard it, but if you missed it, I just want to play a little bit of it here because especially if you're thinking about sports today or if you have kids or anything like that, or you are someone who is dealing with concussions, this is coming straight from a guy who has really been on the forefront of it. You lived during one of the toughest times in the NFL's hard hits.
Pre-2011.
Absolutely. Before you couldn't touch the quarterback, yeah. And there was like, you know, there was a lot more regulation when it came to
a lot more hitting in practice.
A lot more hitting in practice. You went helmet to helmet with a guy one time that hit him so hard that it cracked his helmet in half.
Yeah, I got a cool picture of that, actually. I made it into a really big picture. It was, and when I do talks on concussions, I'll show that picture. So, yes, Jamie Nails. And it was his name was Jamie Nails.
And you nailed Jamie Nails.
And yeah, it was 2003. It was a game against the Miami Dolphins. I was playing a team that had a nickname for me. Mm-hmm. I found out later. The Miami Dolphins nicknamed me Cement Head Ted.
Okay.
And then the Buffalo Bills, both division teams, nicknamed me Ted the Head. So I didn't realize this. I talked to these former Bills and Miami players later. And they said they had these nicknames for me, but the game was 2003 December, and it was a direct run. Jamie Nails, the left guard for the Miami Dolphins, big, strong. I mean, this guy's like 330 probably. Jeez. At least. We hit each other like on a direct run. So I'm lined up middle linebacker, you know, 4 to 5 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So when a direct run, meaning he's responsible for coming out and getting me on the run, and the running back basically follows the guard.
Are you face to face?
We're face to face.
Oh my God.
We're face to face. And so what happens is right, I read direct run, here he comes. So my job is to initiate contact. What I do on every single play when I take on a guard, or any blocker for that matter, is I drop my hips, lower my head, and I put the crown of my helmet right under their chin. And so it snaps their head back. So it's like they call it a stun and separate technique. So I go in there, I drop my hips, drop my helmet, put it right under their chin, and hit them and stun them. So their head goes, snaps back. And then that's when I put my hands in there to separate. So stun and separate. And then I disengage to make the play. I did that on that play. And I'll never forget. After that play, I mean, I think it was Richard Seymour made the play right there. But I didn't make the play. I just remember hitting Jamie Nails. And then kind of feeling a little loopy. And then all I hear is Roman Pfeiffer scream, "We're breaking helmets out here!" And I look, and there's Jamie Nails without a helmet on. And there it is in two pieces. His helmet was in two pieces.
Oh.
Guys, we must have watched that play 100 times in the linebacker room. Wow. I mean, you just see the helmet just split in two and then fall to the ground.
Oh, my God.
And we'd never seen anything like it.
How is he?
Jamie, came back in the game.
Dude,
a helmet.
How are you?
Like, I was concussed, but it wasn't one of those deals where it was, in the concussion feeling, is for me when I would get concussed, I got all the time is this feeling of where everything slows down, right? And and everybody's walking around in slow motion. Or after the hit, that's what everything was kind of, everybody's moving around in slow motion. There's this warmth kind of feeling that engulfs your entire body, and your vision's a little blurry, right? And then so what happens is after a few seconds, it starts to go speed up again, and then your vision comes back, and then everything's kind of back to normal after. And what happens is, and when you first start getting your concussions early on, that what I just described lasts for a few seconds. The more and more I got over my career, they would take like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, sometimes 35 seconds of the play clock, and I'm looking at the sideline trying to get signals, and my vision's still blurry from the hit before. So it adds up over time. When you get more and more, that feeling I just described of getting concussed would last longer and longer. But Jamie Nail split his helmet, and it's one of my proudest moments, man.
Jeez, man. Well, so you've been very open about your concussion history. How many times do you think you've had a concussion on the football field?
Hundreds.
Hundreds?
Hundreds.
Like over 200.
Easy. Yeah, and I asked Gary Plummer this one time. He played middle linebacker for 15 years. Gary, how many concussions you got? 754, Ted. I'm like, what? He goes, well, I did the math. When he played, and it wasn't, he was the generation before me. I mean, it was padded practices twice a week, and it was two-a-days for 6 weeks. Jeez. And it was legit two-a-days, like pads in the morning, half pads in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So a lot more hitting. And he just said, I did the numbers, and that feeling that, we described that feeling to each other that I just described to you. He goes, I've had that easily hundreds of times.
Has there ever been a time where after a hit you wanted, you want it out. Like, I can't play. Something's off. And you tried to get out of the game, but you were encouraged to go back in.
Do you remember, as a few years ago, Luke Kuechly in a Monday night, Sunday night game?
He looked like he didn't know where he was.
Right. He got carted off.
Yep.
For a concussion.
And he was looking at his feet, like he didn't know where he was.
Do you remember, he was crying?
Yep.
Like, uncontrollable crying. That's happened to me before. And I was like, wow. I got a concussion just a few days after I got my a concussion. So I got him within a 4 day period. And that second one, and that it wasn't healed yet, and I got another one, it was like all of a sudden uncontrollable crying. And I was trying to call the play, and I could barely do it.
It wasn't from pain though, was it? It was
no,
because you couldn't control.
I could not control that function. I could not stop crying. And it was, that one scared me. That one scared me.
Did anyone from the team say, "Hey, Ted, take a play off"?
we didn't know that was a concussion back then, Rich. I mean, you just thought that you got your bell rung. Those are very common phrases used: is bell rung and getting dinged. You just got dinged. We didn't know then, like we know now, like what potentially that could lead to later in life.
Even near the end of your time, because you stopped in 2006, is that right?
My last year was the 2004 season. Retired the first day of training camp, 2005.
2005, okay. Because I think the big study came out right after you retired.
CTE wasn't discovered until 2006.
Okay.
So I retired before we knew any of this
stuff. That's right, okay.
Before, and when it was kind of controversial because, I talked about my head being hurt. I just knew my head hurt.
Yeah.
And I knew that the first day of training camp in 2005, that first hit in training camp, I was going to get concussed. How did I know that? Because the first day of training camp in 2003, I got concussed. The first hit in training camp of 2004, I got concussed. I knew that feeling was going to come back the first day. I was going to have it again. And I thought, I just know I'm doing something wrong to my head. I know my personality is changing. I know it just doesn't feel right. And so I retired the first day of training camp, 2005.
You, as I said, you've been very open about how tough it is afterwards. Now that you are 15 years removed from playing in the NFL.
13.
It's taken that long to kind of figure out how to maintain it,
sure,
right?
Yeah, there's no blueprint for dealing with it. I've just learned what works for me.
What helps?
What helps for me is I got to live the most diligent life I can live. Be on a good schedule. Working out is more important than a career for me at this point.
Okay.
Like, that's what gets me on track for the rest of my life.
Something to focus on. Is it more about the focus than it is about the actual health of your body?
You have to eat well. You have to sleep right. Any side effects you might have, treat them. So if you have anxiety, if you have sleep issues, if you have impulse control issues, if you have any depression, then treat those. There's a pharmaceutical, you can go get them on med protocol, go to a psychiatrist, treat those.
Yeah.
But you have to really take care of yourself, and you can't live a sedentary life. If I just check out in life and I just retire and don't do anything, worst thing for your brain. It is. And so it's funny.
Is it because of the lack of activity and the lack of stimulus?
Yes.
And then you kind of live inside your own head at that point.
Yes.
And what is that like to live inside your own head?
Well, it's not fun because no one understands it. There's a lot of shame around this injury because it's the invisible injury. You don't see it. What's wrong with you, Ted? You look fine.
Yeah.
You know, like if it was a physical issue, you see it. Bad back, knees, guys walking around. But it's in the brain, but you look fine. And so it can be a lonely kind of place to be if people don't understand it.
You mentioned CTE. What have you worried about that? How worried are you about the long-term effects here?
Big time. Big time. I mean, because the evidence is overwhelming. They've done BU brain, Boston University has done a ton. Amici.
Yeah, right here.
Right.
They're doing a ton of good research.
They've done I went over 100 autopsies, maybe close to 200 now. I don't know the number. It's like a 98%. CTE conclusion in all these brains. I mean, it's almost, there's different levels of it, I think we're learning. Until they find the imaging technology that you can test in the living for CTE,
right?
I just have to assume I have it. I played a very physical position in a style in which it was where I led with my head on every single play. And so there's got to be something there. It's just, you just hope that it's a progressive thing, and then you hope that later it just waits for a long time before it really starts affecting your personality in ways that, is very noticeable.
Do you smoke?
Yes.
Okay. Does that help? Because that's the one thing I hear that the marijuana, it's one of the biggest things that is a selling point for trying to make it throughout the NFL legal, is that instead of getting hooked on pain pills, marijuana is a much better supplement. Does that help?
It is. It helps with... I mean, I've had addiction issues, bad addiction issues that have derailed my life.
And you've been very open about it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And so I feel like I'm lucky to be here. So, Ted, you're not supposed to be doing that.
Well, not marijuana, because it's not addictive.
If I went and told my counselors that, and my therapist that I've worked with over my life, and said, hey, but I'm going to smoke pot, is that cool? They look at you like you're crazy.
So they are not advocates of it. Yet the medical side of the world says it is good for you.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. No, it's they would say it's a gateway to the harder stuff, that I had the issues with the harder stuff. But I'm also a very unique case study, right? Like my profile is, there's not a lot of people that have studied my profile, which is, what is my profile? Someone who played in the NFL for 10 years, who has addiction issues, but that also can benefit from a drug for all these hits and these concussions. Yeah. So you have to kind of look at it through a different lens for me than you would the typical profile of an addict.
Without a doubt. Right. And that is kind of wild that you have two different people telling you two different things. I would almost think that marijuana would be the thing that would keep you away from the others, from the opioids and from all of those.
Oh, it does. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a huge believer in it for that reason. So guys that are dealing with pain, it's a healing. Yeah, can you get high with it? Yeah, but most guys use it in a form, in a strain that's conducive for healing. Not for getting high, but for healing. And for, honestly, being a functioning adult. And a lot of these guys, without it, can't be that, which is sad.
You can kind of point at marijuana and say, this is something that helps me feel somewhat normal again and be able to function in society as a normal human being.
Yeah. Because a lot of if you have a predisposition for anxiety or depression,
which comes with concussions,
right? It exacerbates the concussions, just exacerbate that precondition that you have. And so it's a huge, huge, huge help for people with mood disorders, with depression, with anxiety. It bumps up your mood. Guys that have concussions have a short fuse. They go from 0 to 60 really fast. Marijuana can help slow that down and give you kind of, you have this ability to, you know, not react and then wait and not be so reactionary. So it's hugely beneficial for a lot of guys.
Well, I got to be honest, you know, people like you who are honest about all of this is the only thing that's going to, I think, help. And it's going to make the awareness out there. As you said, for people who are situations like you are, it's going to take testimony of people saying this truly helps me and it keeps me away from the bad stuff that caused the addiction.
Guys are afraid to talk about it because there's still a bad connotation to it.
There's a weird stigma, which I don't understand. Yeah. I don't get it. But, man, strong stuff, dude. Thanks. Glad you're all right, man.
I'm doing good.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich. No way. Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right. Alert. So, as you know, by the way, Such and Rich, Adam Jones in studio, but there's also someone else in studio. So, Nick ended up dropping his glasses yesterday. It ended up getting crushed by some sort of snowplow. He does not have them. And usually when something like that happens, you just kind of have to deal with the day, and then you end up leaving and you go to a glasses store, get new glasses, or blah, 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 blah. However, there is a man so damn classy that he heard that Nick did not have glasses, and he said, you know what? It's time for me to make a special delivery, and that man is in studio.
Mark Ginelli, it's a recliner Christmas. Meatballs everywhere.
Mark Ginelli is here in studio.
Good morning.
This is
good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Ginelli.
What a day, huh?
Okay, so you heard, first of all, this is the first time we have met in person.
Yes.
We've talked a million times.
A
million times. And so this is a treat. By the way, you can go to twitch.tv/thesportshub and see Mr. Ginelli here in studio. Heard Nick this morning, and how much of a task was it to get here and get his glasses?
I got a Charlie card, though. You know what I mean?
So you took the red line.
I took the red. Well, I took the orange line out of the north end.
Yeah. Right, sure, of course.
Yeah, orange line. Line come on. Yeah. A little bit of walking. And then I got off at JFK. And the buildings were not too far, so it was great.
Now, did he have a pair of glasses at your house?
He had left a pair of broken glasses with one lens side missing at the house. So I dug through everything. I said, I know. Meantime, you guys are doing the eyeglass test.
Throwing the rubber chicken at Wallach's chest is what that is.
And I'm going through drawers, pulling out everything. And I found the glasses.
Right.
So I said, what does a father do? You get on the train and you bring them to him.
What a classy guy.
Yes. Wow.
Unbelievable. Okay, so that...
Would you have done it if he lost to Wallach?
I'd be looking for the Wallach.
Yeah. I understand.
So, okay, so that whole process took, what, like an hour and a half, 2 hours?
About an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, from 8:30.
But that's not the only thing Nick forgot, right?
What else did you...
You brought me my medication.
Oh, his medication. I do that every
day. Well, my brief.
Oh, the thing that keeps you alive.
Yeah, the stuff that keeps him going.
Oh, that. I forgot to say.
And WD-40, in case anything hangs up there.
WD-40. Okay, so Nick, you forgot to take your medication that you have to take every single
morning. I was in a rush this morning. This stuff is not the stuff that I have to take.
It's not life or death.
Okay.
It is?
Oh, very important.
How tough was driving here?
What do you mean?
Without your glasses.
It was a challenge. It's a challenge.
Try and follow along, Nick. Your father seems all right with it.
If I can fill in at all.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Sure. By the way, I just want to say our Twitch numbers just tripled.
Oh, well, of course.
God bless you, Mark.
I mean, listen, you know, because many people have not ever seen Mr. Ginelli before.
That's correct.
Including me. It's my first time meeting him face to face.
Well, I hope not to disappoint everybody.
Everyone seems to love you.
You're everything I had hoped and dreamed you would be.
I wake up in the morning and I get right on at 6 o'clock to listen to what John's got to say first.
Hell yes, you
do. And then, you know, to interact with all the guys and gals. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's like a whole world of people come into my apartment. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love it.
Does anyone ever say anything mean about Nick?
They do, and I always go back and say, keep it classy, guys. Keep it classy.
Yeah. Do you ever, like join in with them and gang up on them and say, yeah, you know, these guys are
Of course I do. And Bird, you know, there's reports coming out of Disney right now about Bird, you know?
Okay. Gee. The best thing about Bird was that he was going to go on this Avatar ride. It's like the big ride there. There's huge lines. So Bird, like, tweeted something out that said, the end of the line said that it was a 2-hour and 10-minute wait. And then we got to the front and they said it was going to be 3.5 hours. And to that, I immediately went, that said 210 minutes, Bird. Not 2 hours and 10 minutes. Right. That's what 3 hours and 30 minutes would be. Yeah. You see, math is a thing that you might have to be able to figure out when you go to Disney. So now, you're a big fan of Bird, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And he came out to see you when you went to get your recliner.
He came to Bernie and Phil's. And when all of a sudden I look up, I go, oh, my goodness, it's my other son. You know? Actually, he looks a little more like me than Nick does. You know?
So now, does Nick, do you know that whenever I go out with Nick, and Nick, by the way, is great. I mean, Nick does an amazing job for the show. He's one of those guys, when I ask him to do anything, he over-delivers. I never have to worry about it. However, the one thing about Nick is when I go out with him and people come up to him, I'll say, hey, this is Nick. And they'll be like, Nick, your dad's the best.
Yeah, it really ticks him off, doesn't it? I think the best one was when Fred asked Brittany, now, if you had a chance to date a younger Mark Cervelli or Nick, what would you do? She said, oh, he's a very nice man. That's all she said.
That's right. Well, okay, so how many now that you've been on the show, have you ever been out anywhere? Because you have a very distinct voice.
Right.
Have you ever been out anywhere and someone knew who you were just because they heard you talking?
Yes.
Okay. Where's that happen?
And a Lyft driver.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. My water guy from Belmont Springs.
Right.
Was all excited. He comes. Yeah. And I go through about 10 cases of water. I may not look it, but I drink a lot of water a month. And so he comes and he goes, Mr. Cervelli. And I go, yes. He goes, can I sit in the recliner? I said, well, don't tell my son. I'll let you do it. So he sat and played with all the buttons. He was all excited.
How's it working out for you, by the way? You like a new chair?
It's fabulous.
Yeah?
It really is fabulous. Mm-hmm. It's a great recliner. And when it's a cold day and you put that heater on, it's just fantastic.
Oh, man. This is the one. I mean, it's got the ass warmer, right? Like, you press the button and
oh, it's got everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's like a rocket ship. You got to come in. If you're in the North End, you just come and ring the buzzer and I let you in. I don't even ask who's there.
I live right across the bridge, man.
That's not a smart thing. You understand that,
yes,
right?
I realize that.
Okay.
All right. You know,
it's a senior housing, believe me.
Oh, all right.
Fair enough.
How's your friend with the socks? The guy who had the cool socks.
He's good.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. That seems to be a problem there.
Is he someone we should not speak of?
No, but he's good. He's good. There's a few, you know, we like our neighbor who sits out in the middle of the street with no shirt on. We don't really discuss too much of that.
Okay, all right. Now, and I know this is obviously a topic I want to stay away from because of Johnny No Shirt. You know, we don't want to get on his bad side. But what time of the year is it officially no shirt season?
Oh, anywhere from May, the middle of May, to all the way through November if it's warmer.
So he'll sit out there in the middle of November. It's like Thanksgiving time. You're letting the turkey cook.
He's out there. He's out there with the cigar and the shirt and no shirt. It's a colorful neighborhood.
Okay.
It really is. And I, my Knights of Columbus group the other day had donated their building for housing, and the mayor came. We had a couple hundred people. And the mayor came to say how they were, you know, improving the neighborhood, trying to get affordable housing there.
Yeah.
Because housing's through the roof.
It's nuts.
Everywhere, you know. So, and everybody was there. Every old-time Italian came.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was so wonderful to see a neighborhood come together like that in a positive way.
Did you make food for it?
I did not. No, they had a catered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, things were a little dry, but that's okay.
Would have been a lot better if you took care of things.
I know.
When's the next big social event you're making meatballs for?
I'm making you guys meatballs sometime in March. I got to be in the right mood. So
sure. It's a meatball mood.
Yeah.
What kind of mood do you have to be? Like what
puts you in that mood?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, snow does a wonderful job.
Yeah. You know, but
if it starts snowing in the afternoon after 3, forget it.
Yeah.
Meatballs aren't going to get there. Nor would you want them, you know? But I do have a little funny story. We were at a wedding, all the kids and I, and bartender came over, and this was back in BCN days, actually. And she said, oh, Mr. Gemelli. Now, my oldest daughter's an actress in New York.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And my youngest daughter is well-known in New York as a stage manager on Broadway. And the gal comes over, and she whispers in my ear. She said, do you think I could get an autograph? And I said, okay. I go, Lauren. She goes, oh, no, not them. I want Goatee McGee to give me that.
I forgot that was your nickname.
My girls were furious.
You were Goatee McGee for a while. That was a name Fred was notoriously did not know the names of any of the interns that worked for us. And before he knew who Nick was, he just called him Goatee McGee because he forgot his name, and that kind of stuck for a little bit. Oh, that's right.
Do you remember?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
You wonderful feel good? Memories. Wonderful yeah. memories.
You do not look like you're enjoying this, Nick.
No, I'm dying inside.
What are you afraid he's going to say? It's your dad.
I don't know.
I would never say
I know him. He would never say something. I'm only kidding.
Okay. I thought they handled the love fest fantastic. I thought the girls were great. I thought Bird and Nick handled it very well.
Oh, well, you see, but the thing was, Nick and his girlfriend came across as being wildly normal next to Bird and his girlfriend. Like, that was a strange situation. It's fascinating.
Yeah, but they're happy.
Oh, they're happy. Well, as I said, immediately it was done, I said, I think if I had to predict, both of those couples would last because they're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
Both sides of it. You know, and now Nick, you know, obviously way above what he should have. Tinder, it should be the best advertisement for Tinder ever that he was able to land the girl that he was able to land. But that's not saying anything. It's just that I've known Nick for a while. And, you know, Nick, we've got secrets. And I know that Nick way overshot is where he should be. But Bird.
Yeah, she's smart. She's funny. Yeah, she's awesome. Good looking.
What happened?
She just said, you know what? I know Bird's what he is, but I like knowing that he'll do everything I say.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
Which I thought was fantastic. All right, so what's next for you? As you said, in March, you're going to make us all meatballs.
Yeah, I got the meatball thing going in March. And then, of course, April is Easter. So I got to start, you know, shooting rabbits.
What?
You know who's a fan of I feel weird saying this. You know who's a fan of yours? My mother.
I love the stories. With a pineapple. I was going to bring a pineapple one time.
Don't say those things. It's gross.
He's a P1, man.
That's right. Yeah, my mom with the upside down pineapple and the community with all the crazy swinging and stuff like that. Very, very odd. Not that my mother would ever do anything like that. She is a saint.
She's a saint.
Or at least she tries to make me one because she yells at me when I say certain things on the air. And it's very strict, very strict. Why? How could the Masons? Oh, they're evil. We've been talking about doing something, and I don't know if I want to talk about this on the air because I don't want to blow it. But either way, why the hell not?
Why not?
I would love to do an event that featured you, and it featured, we would call it Meatballs in Manhattan. We would do some sort of awesome event that was classy as hell. Everyone showed up. It's all about Manhattans. It's all about Italian food. And we would do it at some place where, I don't know. It would involve some athletes, and it would just be a big event, maybe a fundraiser. Would you be in for something
like that? Of course I would.
Oh, see, that would be awesome.
Yeah, the last couple of days with Ted Johnson being in, too, was just fantastic.
Yeah, and Adam Jones has sucked.
Yeah, Adam.
It's not been great.
Yeah, you do a great job.
He does.
You got the smile. People like you.
No, they don't, though. Yeah, that's very false.
Do you listen enough?
Do you have any? Okay, so while you're here, you are one of our biggest P1 listeners. I would like to hear from you 2 positives and 2 negatives about the show. Start with 2 positives, 2 things that you've liked about the show and that you like about it.
We're in the trust tree.
Well, you know, right now, Rich and John are here. That's my 2 positives.
Yeah.
God bless you, Mark Gemelli.
Okay. I'll take that.
I got to come up with a negative. Negative is this friggin' window right here with the shine coming in during the day.
Now, Fred would be applauding from wherever he is.
I know,
he hates that.
I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... No, I'm complaining about it because, you know, it puts a halo on Fred.
Yeah, because you watch on Twitch.
You watch on
it's
Twitch.
It's misleading, yeah. Right?
And, yeah. But you understand, Mr. Jamelli, why we keep that open, because it feels like you're in a dungeon the windows are down. Okay.
Of course, and he never had windows before.
No.
So to him, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I find that people are so supportive of the show.
Without a doubt. We have the best listeners. They're maniacs, but they're the best listeners.
But I do believe at that function you want to have, I would like to ask a guest to come.
Ooh, who is this? Mm.
Jim Gray.
What would you say to Jim Gray if you saw him?
Oh, I have a lot of words I'd like to say to him that I can't repeat. And I was watching it live when it happened. And I kept repeating it and repeating it and repeating it because I go, nobody is that much of a jerk.
Yeah, that was an odd situation. And you saw the aftermath, too, because you were watching it live when you had Jerry Rice waiting to come up, and in the background, there was pointing and yelling.
And John's trying to do his thing, they're yelling behind him.
Yep.
So unprofessional it was.
No, it was just Jim Gray yelling. Fred wasn't doing any of the yelling.
Fred wasn't doing, no. Nope. Fred was in shock.
Yes, we all were. Actually.
Yeah, you could see the shock on
his.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to be so nice. Well, of course you'd ask, how did you get invited to Oprah's?
Of course.
You know, I'd like to go to Oprah's, you know? Stedman and I, and he was just out of control.
It was also a launching point to get into his relationship with Tom Brady, because that right there proved just how tight he was with Brady.
Yes.
That he was at the filming of this thing with Oprah. So, right. It was kind of one thing that was going to lead into that. And then immediately he just like, Tom knows Stedman. Stedman knows Tom. Tom knows my wife. And
Just a jerk.
Agreed.
And the greatest thing was the day after the Super Bowl that RKK called in like he promised.
He did.
Mm-hmm. You know how important you guys are? I mean, that's a big
Well, it's
net.
Just Rich who got the audience with RKK. He's the one who's really important.
Yeah, it really is. It was great. And the Super Bowl and the Pats. It's hard to find a negative because my son works here, you know? I'm just happy.
Just the window.
The glare.
Yeah.
It's a glare thing.
Well, we'll try to see if there's a happy
meeting. Don't put Fred in a bag. He's going to be overtired when he gets back from vacation. Right? We don't hit Fred with anything bad.
No, that's true.
You got to give it a couple of days.
I'll tell you this. You are the only person that I could tell Fred was sitting in your chair and he'd be okay with.
Yes, you'd be very
literally
happy with
the only person probably walking on earth that he'd be like, oh, well, if it's Mark Jamelli, then am I okay with that? He's going to be pissed that he missed you, though.
Well, you know, my excitement in that limousine about seeing Kelly's and seeing Calhoun and all that, that was genuine. I mean, I was really excited.
Oh, yeah.
And then the way they treated me at Bernie and Phil's, it was like a dream come true.
Well, you were an advertisement come true.
It was the best Christmas I've ever had. I want you to know.
Look at that. And we caused it, not you, Nick.
That's right. That's right. And so when he showed up Christmas and he goes, remember, I got you the recliner.
He said, I got this one written off.
Written off.
All right. Well, Mark Jamelli, first of all, once again, your son's awesome. Does a great job on the show. You are an absolute stud to come down here and bring a great guy to bring his glasses and everything. Are you going to drive him home? Oh, yeah.
I take the T. I need to walk. It's great.
I can give you a ride home.
No.
Oh, now that you have your glasses?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. You're not going to make him take the train. You can drive him home.
He just offered, and his father declined. That's not like...
Do you know how excited I am to have my own Charlie card after all these years?
How long has it been?
Well, I've been, I grew up in Boston.
Right.
And lived in Boston, but we never used the subway that often.
Okay.
And now to be able to jump on and go anywhere, I go to the Pru, I go to the museums, I go to bars that I really love.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah,
it's
like a whole new world. I love not driving anymore.
All right, I'm going to the North End, not this weekend, but next weekend. Give me two good places to get into. One in case it's too crowded, and then the second one.
Well, Brico's on Hanover Street.
Okay.
Oh, big thumbs up.
And my backup always is Mother Anne is the first one, little restaurant on the corner of Hanover Street and Cross Street.
Okay, yeah.
That's real Italian food.
Brico is your first,
Brico's
and then Mother Anne's.
Brico's is great. The cocktails are great.
Manhattans are good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am in. Well, hey, Mr. Jamelli, awesome that you came.
Thank you, fellas, for having me here.
Damn glad.
It's a joy and an honor to be here.
Yeah. What a nice surprise this morning. We'll be back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.